In 2009, the Barna Group did a spiritual gifts survey of people, and they found some very interesting information I just want to share with you. Two-thirds of Americans, 68%, who said they were Christian, had said they had heard about spiritual gifts before. That's a small decline from the past 10 years, where 71% said they had heard of spiritual gifts. Of those people who were surveyed, 15% didn't know what their gift was, 28% said they didn't have a gift, and 20% said spiritual gifts were not biblical. So about two-thirds of the people claim to either have never heard about spiritual gifts or have not been able to apply spiritual gifts to their life. Whatever the Bible teaches about them, they haven't been able to put into application. It's funny, they listed spiritual gifts. Some people said these were spiritual gifts. A sense of humor. Happiness. A job. A house. This is the confusion that exists around spiritual gifts. Since 1995, about 20 years now, the number of people who say that their gift of encouragement, their spiritual gift is encouragement, has grown from 2% to 6%. Only 6% of Christians believe they have the gift of encouragement. I guess maybe that we need more encouragement this day than we ever have in the past. You heard Tom pray for our country today, and so we need more encouragement than we do. The number of people identifying evangelism as their gift in the last 20 years went from 4% down to 1%. Now, only 1% of people believe that their spiritual gift is evangelism. But the number of people who said that they have no idea what their gift is went from 8% to 13%. So there's still, again, one of the reasons we're doing this is because we don't know. It doesn't surprise me that that few of people know what their spiritual gift is or understand them, because according to surveys, only about 20% of people who say they are Christians read their Bible every day. The other 80% of people read it like three times a week or less. Well, if we're not getting into God's Word and we're not trying to learn about Him and all that He's done for us, how are we to understand what spiritual gifts are? Because they're not learning it in church, because the other survey says that only 40% of Christians attended service in the last week. So where do we find out about these spiritual gifts, and how do we know? See, that's what's great about you all. You all are different. You're here this morning because you want to learn about spiritual gifts, right? Say yes. Yes. A little more enthusiasm. You all are here because you want to learn about spiritual gifts. Yes. All right. Cool. Whew. You know, everybody wants more people to understand their spiritual gifts. Every church does. I don't know one pastor that I've ever met with that said, man, hey, Rick, I have so many servants in my church that I don't have enough opportunities. Would you like some of our people to come serve? Never heard that in a pastor's gathering. We have learned over the last couple weeks that all of us have been gifted. God loves us so much that He's given us each at least one spiritual gift to be used for the common good. But again, the complaint in church, I don't like a complaint, or the cry in church is, man, we need more servants. So what are some things today I want to look at? What are some things that keep us from serving? What are some things that hinder or stop us from using our spiritual gifts? If you have your Bible or your iPad, whatever you want, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we talked about race with the little kids there, but it says chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In this passage, we can find four barriers that limit us or keep us from using our spiritual gifts. Now, a barrier is any kind of impediment or a boundary, anything that restrains us from the access of our gifts. And so I want to look at four of those here today in this passage, if we could. The first one is the battle of encumbrance. Scripture says, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything that hinders. This Greek word for hindrances, impediment, however you want to say it, something that blocks us, something that keeps us from going down the path. In other words, what the author's trying to tell us is we need to throw off everything that slows us down. I thought about having the kids run some races up and down the hallway, the aisle here this morning with backpacks with a whole bunch of different bricks that represented different things, and I thought, now that'd be a little complicated. But anything that hinders or throws us off, it very well could be as much as about something as sin, but it doesn't have to be, but anything that keeps us from doing personal ministry. So one of the reasons that people don't involve themselves as ministry is because something, they have a burden or something that weighs them down. Anything that complicates or clutters your life. It could be a preoccupation with material things. Or it could be the hours that you have to work, the extra hours to pay for all those material things that are blocking your way, the things that society says we need to have. Maybe it's a hobby that has consumed you and takes away your time. Maybe you're in a bad relationship or a relationship where you're not equally yoked. Somebody else keeps you away from using your spiritual gifts. They become a distraction. Listen to Paul as he writes to Timothy. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, a Roman soldier, Paul says, has got a single purpose. He has rigorous discipline. They were a very well-disciplined army. And he has unquestioning obedience to his commanding officer. And so this makes him a great example of what we're talking about today. A soldier has to do certain things. He has to brush his teeth and floss, do laundry, have a clean uniform, polish their shoes. He has to eat. But for the soldier, everything outside of those necessities detracts from their mission as a soldier. And so we find that happens to us. We have these basic functions that we need to do, but then all these other things begin to clutter our life and take us away from maybe what our single purpose should be. The soldier lets nothing else interfere with his performance of his duty. Having been in Manhattan where we had Fort Riley, soldiers would get pulled in and get Article 15s and things like that for anything that took away from their duty. And so this is the kind of thing we have here. Anything that distracts us from using our spiritual gift becomes a hindrance or an encumbrance. It might be indecision. Should I? Should I not? Do I? Do I not? Do I have this gift? Do I not have this gift? It might be that you're just busy with other things. One of the biggest things I hear is, hey, would you like to serve on this or would you like to help with this? I'm too busy. Let me tell you what. What I've found is that you're not too busy to make time for things that are important to you. If it's important to you, you will always find a way to make it happen. Sometimes your hindrance or your encumbrance might be fear. You're afraid that you're going to fail, look foolish, whatever it might be. And so you don't think you're skilled enough. You don't think you're good enough. And so you don't use your spiritual gift in that fashion. So as we look at these barriers, I want to give you some ideas on what are some things that we can do to break through this barrier. So the breakthrough for this idea of encumbrance is to do this. I'm going to ask you, make a conscious decision to serve and commit to doing so, right? Just got to make a decision that I am going to serve in this area and make a commitment to doing it. Now, here's the key. Start small, right? Start small. Find something that you know you can do. Might become helpful, fold bulletins. Louise Douglas might like some help folding bulletins. Might become to put the link together, the monthly newsletter. Anything that could do. Maybe sign up to be a greeter once a month. Not a real tough job to stand out there, hand out some bulletins, and just be cheerful and nice to people. Well, for some of you it is. Right? Maybe be an usher, right? Hopefully we'll get back to a day where it's so crowded in here we have to actually have ushers do something besides take up the offering. Help people find seats. Whatever it is, Nike hit it on the button when they came up with their campaign slogan, just do it. If this is you, if you feel like you're keeping from serving because you got so much going on and you're burdened, find something small. Make a commitment and stick with it. The second barrier I want to talk about today is the barrier of sin. Excuse me. Some of us aren't serving because we have some sin in our lives. I know that's not a pleasant thing to hear, but it's the reality. Our sin probably didn't start out intentionally sinning. We just kind of found ourselves in a sinful situation. It happens easy. It's a compromise in some area of life. Compromise, according to Webster's dictionary, means a concession to something that is harmful. So we've dabbled or whatever it might have been. A great example of this is Samson. Samson had been appointed by the Lord to be a judge. Samson had a problem. Samson had a wandering eye. He liked the ladies. So he married a pagan woman because Scripture said she looked good to Samson. That turned out to be a horrible relationship, almost cost him his life. So after that, he didn't learn his lesson. He says he hooked up with He hooked up with a shady lady from Gaza, it says. And again, he found himself in trouble. Then after that, of course, he hooks up with Delilah. And even though he knew it was not a good relationship, he stayed in it. He had become entangled in this web. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "And the sin that so easily entangles us." See, sin will cloud your vision. It will take you farther than you ever thought you would stray. It will help you to, or make you to keep you there longer than you ever thought you would. And it'll cost you more than you ever thought that it would. And it is so easy to slip into this pattern of sin. None of us are safe or immune. I mean, how does the Bible describe Satan? As a roaring lion, looking for whom he can devour. The lion is a very, very good predator. Knows where to go, can find weak spots very easily. The lion will sit out and watch a herd of animals and find the oldest, the weakest, the smallest, and he's not going to act until he can get that prey alone. You know, gambling may seem harmless at first. It's only $20 here or $15 there, and then pretty soon it's $100, it's $200. Alcohol may seem like it's the key to having a good time. If we watch TV, whenever you see a beer commercial, for example, you know, you see anybody sitting around in, you know, a slum with their wife beater t-shirt on, drinking beer, you see people having fun. They're playing volleyball on the beach. They're all young people. It looks like they're having a good time. So easy to get caught up in this type of activity. Pornography may be harmless. I'm just going to go there once. Then it's twice, then it's three times. And don't, let's just not think that that's a problem for men. It's now becoming a problem for 1 in 6 women in our country as well. University of New Hampshire did a study that found children as young as 8 years old are now being hooked on pornography on the internet. It can easily take us to go. But let's not think about those big things. Let's think about things like gossip, lying, hatred, backbiting, selfishness. The Bible says that those were all sins too. And once we get caught up in a lie, it's always easier to tell a second lie and then a third lie until eventually we don't know what lie we've told to who. Gossip is just as easy. It's once we get going on the gossip trail, and we can just keep going and going and going. Sin so easily entangles us. The author hit it right on the nose. So, how do we break through this barrier? If sin is keeping you from serving, we overcome this barrier with confession and repentance. The first thing that we have to do is we have to agree with God that sin is sin. In our country today, nobody wants to admit that their favorite pastime, their favorite hobby, whatever it might be, whatever is entangling them, they don't want to agree that it's not that bad. It's just a little gambling. It's just a little bit of alcohol. I only go to watch pornography, so it's not really a sin. It's not that bad. We have to agree with God that sin is sin, and that's it. There are no degrees. It's just sin. So by confession and repentance, we admit that, God, I've been a sinner. And repentance means to turn around and go the other way. Change of life. And then, of course, the next key to that is then to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life instead of the world and the things that the world says is good for us. Is let's make Jesus and the things that he teaches us, let's make that important in our life. You cannot conquer sin. You alone cannot conquer sin. If we don't make Jesus the Lord of our life, why in the world did we even need a Savior? If we could do it on our own, we wouldn't have needed Jesus Christ to come and walk with us to die on the cross. Probably for many of you here today, the third barrier is a big one. The barrier of fatigue. Listen to what the author says here. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We wouldn't need to be encouraged to persevere if we weren't getting tired, right? If fatigue wasn't a big thing, the author would have never said, hey, you don't need to do that. Some people quit serving just because they're tired, they're worn out. I've done it for all these years, it's somebody else's turn. I'm retired. Here's your challenge, if that's your excuse, that's your barrier, I want you to go in the Bible and find me the word retired. Good luck. Some people not only quit serving because of fatigue, but they drop completely out of church. And that should never happen. It is not a bad thing, I just want to tell you, it's not a bad thing to grow weary in service, to get tired in serving. The bad thing comes when we get tired of serving and we quit serving all together. Now here's what I've found as we go. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that determines your gifts and distributes them. And remember, it's in the power of the Holy Spirit that we serve, not in our power, the power of the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus tell the disciples when he left? Go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, and he will empower you to be my witnesses. Again, your gift is your gift, right? You can't have somebody else's gifts. Don't serve where you're not gifted, right? Don't serve where you're not gifted. Don't serve because one ministry looks more important than the other. Take the gift that God has determined you need and serve within that. 1 Peter 4:11 says, serve with the strength that the Lord provides, using your giftedness. I have found that most of the fatigue in serving comes from serving in an area that you're not gifted. If you're doing something that God has not gifted for you to do, you are going to get tired and weary because maybe you begin to see it as a task. You begin to see something as new. Like the nursery, for example. Many people see the nursery as a task or something that they have to do. We need somebody to serve in the nursery. Man, look at Jesus. What did Jesus think about the little children? Oh, he held little children dear. If little children, being with children, is not your gift, then don't do it. If ushering is not your gift, don't do it because then it just becomes a task. You stand and hand out bulletins. If greeting is not your gift, don't do it. As greeters and ushers, you're the first and second faces that often get seen in church. And if you're standing up there with your sourpuss look, handing out bulletins, if it's a real ministry and somebody comes to church that you don't recognize, hey, haven't seen you before. What's your name? How you doing? Glad you're here today. Here, have a bulletin. Sherry and I were talking about this with some friends last night. We were talking about a big church in Wichita. And when we were pastoring the Hispanic church in Wichita years ago, just getting started in ministry, we went to a big, big Baptist church. We walked in. Somebody said, here's a bulletin. We went and found us a seat. Nobody came and greeted us. Nobody said, hey, haven't seen you here before. Nobody said, hey, welcome. Let me tell you a little bit of difference in this church compared to that. About 15 or 16 months ago, January of 2015, I snuck in way back in this whole candidating thing started, snuck into a second service in the middle of a snowstorm one day, sat back over there in the corner. Five or six people came up to greet me. By the time I got ready to leave, Aaron Fox had taken a offering envelope and wrote down the name of 3 Sunday school classes for me. Hey, if you come back, these might be some good things to check out. Now that's hospitality. That's being a good greeter. So don't serve outside of your area of giftedness. I know you get tired, but please don't serve outside the area of your giftedness. How do we do this? How do we get through this barrier? Here's where you prayer warriors come into play. Pray that God would send more laborers. That was Jesus' prayer. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send more laborers. That is something that was central to the Sunday that I came and candidated before you. I asked you to consider 1 hour of worship, 1 hour of discipleship in Sunday school or small group of some kind, and 1 hour of service. If we have been running 325 people or so in both worship services right now, let's say that 50% of those, or not 50%, but 1/5 of those are children. Let's say that 60 children leave the service. That leaves us about 265. What could happen in Augusta and Butler County if we had 265 hours of service every week? If everybody was giving 1 hour to some kind of service. Now, it doesn't have to be going out and witnessing and things. Could be on Wednesday night being part of the prayer team. Could be filling in at a Sunday school class as a substitute. Might be helping with Kids Connect. But just think of what we could do with 265 hours of service to the Lord in our community. Wow. Unbelievable. We want to make a difference in the world. It begins right there by everybody giving just a little bit. Finally, the barrier of strained focus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and protector of our faith. Fix our eyes on Jesus. We talked about this a little bit in the barrier fatigue, but serving outside the area of your giftedness can lead to frustration. We grow weary, we grow frustrated, things aren't going the way we want, and we begin to carry that burden with us. We focus more on that than we do on our relationship with the Lord. And that becomes the key. All we do then is see mountains of work that needs to be done. We begin to focus not on our relationship with the Lord, but we begin to focus on the things that we see in front of us. That's just the opposite of what Jesus told us. Jesus told us that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we're serving in our area of giftedness, it shouldn't be exasperating. It shouldn't be frustrating. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. Even if we gave 265 hours a week in service, you know what? There would still be so much more work to do. There are going to be hurting people with us until Jesus Christ comes back. There are going to be hungry people in the world until the Lord comes back and sets his kingdom up on earth. There will always be a need to share the gospel until Jesus Christ comes back and says, this is it. There's always going to be more to do. But that's why the Hebrews author encourages us to run the race set before us. You have your own race. I have my race. A couple of years ago, I ran a half marathon with my sister, my daughter Julie. She said, hey, run a half marathon with me. So I began to train, and people would say, hey, you're running a half marathon with your daughter Julie. I'm like, no, I'm entered in the same race. I am not running her race. Soon as the gun goes bam like that, I'm just going to see her little behind way up there somewhere, and I'm running. So I'm running, and it's an out and back and an out and back loop, 6.5 miles, 6.5 miles. So I'm running, and as I start to come back, I start passing people, and I'm thinking, hey, you know, I'm pretty good at this. So I'm running it. Then about mile 12, my run goes like, like this. What I didn't realize is that some of the people were running a full marathon. So they were doing 4 loops. But from behind, I couldn't see their bibs, their tags, and so we had one color for the half marathon, one color for the full marathon. And then so as I stopped and I'm like, I see them turning around and going back out, and I'm like, oh. I could not run the race that my daughter Julie was running. We did these things called Warrior Dash. They're obstacle course like military. She was going to get her best time by running fast in between the obstacles. I was going to make up the time by getting over the barriers, climbing and doing the strength things. Run the race set before you. Don't wish for somebody else's race. Don't wish that you had somebody else's gift. All of the gifts, right, come with their own set of burdens. Don't wish for somebody else's. Run your race. If I tried to run with my daughter Julie in that first marathon, I'd have been buried about mile three. They would have had to drive me off to the hospital in the cart. Don't wish for somebody else's gift. Focus on the Lord. Focus on where you need to be involved in meeting the needs of his people, meeting the needs of the church. Remember, the church is not this building. You as individuals are the church. And so you need to concentrate on each other. Focus on what the Lord has gifted you. Right? Now, how do we do that then? How do we break through this barrier? Pray, seek counsel, and ask for prayer support. Here's what I want you to do. And this is sometimes difficult because we don't like to have people be honest with us. Ask some people close to you, hey, what do you think my spiritual gift is? The people that know you will be able to tell you the areas where you're gifted. Ask them to be honest with you, be brutally honest. What do you think my spiritual gift is? And then ask the Lord, what does God say about your spiritual gift? Now, when you pray, here's the bad part. You got to stop and listen, right? Doesn't do me any good to have a conversation with my wife and, hey, Sherry, what do you think about this? And I'm gone. So make sure that you pray and ask God, hey, God, where am I gifted? Make sure you stop and listen to what he has to say. And then be alert. He may speak to you through somebody else. He may speak to you through his word. If you're one of those people who are reading the Bible every day, the 20%, he will tell you where you're gifted. Ask him to reveal his ministry to you. Ask your Sunday school class, hey, what do you think our gifts are? And then seek out wise counsel. Seek out somebody that you trust and ask them. Here's what I'd like you to do in the coming week. I'd like you to try to take some time, go back through these four barriers. Which one is the one that hinders you the most? Which one is the one that keeps you from serving, if you're not serving somewhere already, which one? Maybe even again, next week I'll give you a spiritual gifts inventory after we're done with the service. Maybe that will help you to identify. But what are the things that hinder you from serving? Is there some unconfessed sin in your life? Be brutally honest again with yourself. Is there for some fatigue? Are you tired? Are you trying to serve in too many areas? Again, that puts you outside the area of your giftedness. Do you have too many commitments outside, worldly commitments that would keep you from using your spiritual gifts for the Lord? In other words, do you have a focus problem? Take some time to go through and look for that. And here's why. I want you to think of Jesus Christ. If we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, listen to the end of verse 2 in Hebrews. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Listen, here's something about spiritual gifts, but I want to tell you this. As we do this, as we present you in a couple weeks with opportunities to serve, I do not want you running around and serving or signing up to serve everywhere. I would rather have people who have a passion and a focus for one gift and do it really well. I've told people on the nominating committee, when this fall comes around and we start looking for people to serve on core teams, if somebody says, I don't know, don't just keep, oh, come on, you can do it. I know you can. You got to, just don't badger them into signing up to be part of a core team. Let them figure it out. I would rather have you be focused on one area and do a really good job because, let's be honest, running around and doing a whole bunch of Christian deeds doesn't get us into heaven. It just makes us busy and tired, especially if it's not in our gifted area. Jesus doesn't want just a bunch of religious activities. He wants us to be focused and using the gifts, the wonderful gifts that he's given us, to serve his people. Think about Jesus serving. It was with joy, it says, that he endured the cross. And if that's all you take away today, is that Jesus endured the cross with joy because he loves you so much, that's the most important thing you can take away today. All the other stuff about spiritual gifts is great, but your relationship with Jesus is most important. He loved you so much. God had this plan that he loved you so much he sent his son Jesus. Now, there will be people that will tell you that's a bunch of malarkey. It was just the Roman army and a bunch of political zealots got together and they crucified Jesus. Jesus could have called down legions of angels to get down on the cross, especially if his purpose on earth was to fulfill the will of God the Father, and that wasn't the will. To die on the cross wasn't the will of God the Father. He could have got off the cross just like that. But if we remember that night in the garden, he prayed, if there's any other way, Lord, any other way, Father, let it be. But he loved you so much that he endured the scorn and the shame of the cross. Never forget that, even as we talk about these spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gift is a wonderful gift that was given to you. It does no good unless it is used fully in the same kind of love that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. It is not to be a duty. It is not to be a task. It is to be something that we do out of a great love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the love of his people. And that's where we're going to head next week as we talk about spiritual gifts, engaging God's people. Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross for you. And that's why we serve, out of the great love that he had for us. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to sacrifice your one and only Son. We thank you that you have deemed each of us as individuals important enough to give us just the perfect gift that we need. Over the next couple weeks, Lord, again, help us to discern our perfect gift. Where is it that you've gifted me that I may serve you fully in the same love that you showered upon me? That I may look to the needs of your people just as Jesus looked to the needs of your people. I pray, Father, that you would help us to take our gifts, wrap them in love, and give them away bountifully to others. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But again, Lord, if we're serving in the area that you've gifted us, it should be a joy. Joy and happiness, joy and fun are two different things. Joy is a lasting effect that comes from inside. Happiness and fun are temporary. So for the joy of serving you, I pray that you would clearly again lead us in the direction that we need to go. We love you. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we're sitting here right now, if there is somebody here who has never given their life over to the Lord, they find themselves entangled, that today they would confess their sins and ask you to take over their life, that you would guide and direct them in the way that you would have them go. And Father, if there's somebody here today who has not become a member of his church and wants to be a part of what we're doing, where we're trying to go in our community and in this world today, I pray that you would touch their hearts, speak to them, Lord, and ask them to come be a part of what we're trying to accomplish here. We love you again. We thank you for this beautiful day. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.